Hi, this is Andrew Corbett, and welcome to our next instalment of Building a Covenant Community. This is study number 9, Rejoice in Hope. Well, this study is taken out of Romans chapter 12 and the first part of verse 12. In fact, this whole section in Romans chapter 12 from verses 9 to 21 contains 27 imperatives, things that you do. It begins with the therefore of Romans chapter 12 verse 1, that now that you are a believer, a follower of Christ, this is how you are to live. And what we are seeing out of these 27 imperatives, that every one of them involve being in a local church body. It involves the pain of being in a local church body, the discomfort and the challenge of being in a local church body. You cannot fulfill any one of these 27 imperatives without belonging to a church community. So this is really important. It is about building the fabric of a church. Every church that begins to make headway will run into challenges that each of these 27 imperatives will address. So let's have a look at this. This is Rejoice in Hope, study number 9. To rejoice is to celebrate. And of course, Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says this, rejoice in hope. It goes on to say, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. But for now, we're looking at the first part of this. To rejoice is to celebrate. To rejoice in hope is to celebrate what God has done and what God will do despite whatever circumstances we are going through. Now, I know this is going to challenge a lot of believers who have a concept of God that he would never let his children suffer or go through adversity, trial, sickness, or any adversity at all. And this study is going to challenge you, and I hope that you can just stick with us as we get through this study. So no matter what you're going through, God can help you to get through it. And this is the essence of hope. Hope says that God has better times ahead for us. Ultimately, our resurrection is the greatest result of our hope. So 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And in verse 13, it says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Again, speaking of the final day, the last day, the day of resurrection. So, of course, Peter's writing, this first Peter, is being written to Christians who were beginning to suffer for their faith in Christ. They were beginning to be persecuted. And ultimately, within a very short time of him writing this, he himself would be martyred by Caesar Nero, and many of those that he wrote to would also be martyred in one of the greatest waves of persecution that the church has ever suffered. Question 1. Note Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Based on this passage, why should we have hope, and how is this hope developed? Well, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Verse 4, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Verse 5, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. There's a lot in that verse. Let's have a look at the question again. Based on that passage, why should we have hope, and how is this hope developed? Well, hopefully you can see that our hope is grounded in the confidence that Jesus Christ is our Lord. And if he's Lord, he knows exactly what we're going through. And in fact, he's going to get us through it. He is orchestrating this for our good. That's our trust in him. And we can have the hope that it won't last. And what do we see there? How will this hope be developed? It's developed, according to this passage, it says, by endurance. It goes on and says that we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our sufferings produces endurance. So we have hope in the glory of God. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So in all these things, we trust that God is developing our character, making us into the people he wants us to be. There's a part of the answer. Now, this is a discussion. It's a discussion that you would put out to the group. What do we see in Romans 5 that teaches us about where our hope comes from? Might be another way of asking this question. And ultimately, if the answer sounds like we hope for that union with Christ where we were no longer experience opposition, persecution, hatred, trials, or sickness, we have that hope. But let the group discuss it, put it out there. Here's question two. The world is subject to futility. What does that mean? Well, disappointment, disaster, pain, suffering, loss, futility. All the things that seem wasteful, seem like a waste of time. Why do we have to go through this? Romans chapter 8, verse 20 is the verse that supports that statement. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, it says in Romans 8:20. Ephesians 2:12 says, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So if you don't know God, you don't really know hope. And verse 13 goes on to say, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off, once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And so we have hope because we are now united with Christ. How is the Christian better able to handle life's futility? Again, put this question out there. While there may be some people in the group who believe Christians should never be sick, it's always an attack of the enemy, it's always the devil's having a go. But here we read that God actually orchestrates for this world to be subject to futility, but those last two words of Romans 8:20 are powerful, in hope. So when we realize that the believer faces the same trials and testing sometimes as the non-believer, but the believer has the hope that God has a reason for everything and that whatever we suffer, we have to endure and have to endure is both for our good and, here's the beautiful thing, it won't last. That we have a hope that life does not end at the grave. Question three, and this is a beautiful verse. How is God described in Romans 15, verse 13? Well, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. How does Paul say we can abound in this attribute of God? So how is God described? He's described as the God of hope. The believer experiences this attribute of God by believing, simply trusting. So no matter what you're going through, don't complain about it. Don't lift your fist to heaven and shake it in the face of God. Rather, lift your open palm in worship and acknowledge that you trust him. It says that by believing and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will come to know God as the God of hope. It's beautiful that God is the God of hope. The Christian life is different from merely being a religious person. When we are converted, we are, here's the big word, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. It says that in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Reading from verse 4, it says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, verse 5, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Verse 7, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So we see some powerful things in that passage from Titus 3:4 down to Titus 3:7. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared. Here's a good one for Jehovah's Witness. Then in verse 6 where it says, Jesus Christ is our Savior. Therefore, Jesus Christ is God. And we can trust in him. And this regeneration gives us the ability to hope in God. This causes us to see the world differently, not just as an alternate view to the way it is generally seen. We are enabled to see it as it truly is. This view enables us to see God as ruling and reigning. But the Christian life is more than just a moment of conversion. It is also an ongoing transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit who fills the believer. May the God of peace, it says in Romans 15 verse 13, fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Some beautiful words there from the apostle. Question 4, what is our greatest source? What is the greatest source of hope? What is the greatest source of our hope? We're looking at Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, and it says, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So if you want to be someone who's encouraged, who's given the fuel to endure, and who has hope and encouragement, read the scriptures. Read the scriptures. Read a proverb a day. 31 chapters of Proverbs, 31 days in the month. That's the maximum number. There's 28 or 30 or 31. And each day, if you get a daily dose of Proverbs, you'll be encouraged. You'll get God's word into your soul. I encourage you to do it. Question 5, in what way is our hope in God an opportunity to share Christ with those who do not know him? Well, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, reading the verse before and the verse after our key verse, it says this, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. Verse 15, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Verse 16, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. So you can live the kind of life where people can ask you, what is the reason for your hope? In other words, live a questionable life. So being a hopeful Christian can make you a more effective witness. Question 6. How is rejoicing different for the Christian than the non-Christian? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. And what's the key expression there? Well, it's in the Lord. The believer's rejoicing is not merely about our circumstances, but it resides and is grounded in who Christ actually is. And who is he? He is Lord. And if you get that, you've got good reason to hope. I trust that as you've gone around the group and invited them to look at each scripture, and we've gone through these fairly quickly, that people have had an opportunity to share. People have had an opportunity to be able to contribute. And as they do, you can get to know them a bit more as group leader as well. You can hear their heart, hear their story. And if someone begins to open up and share a bit of their story, I would, if it's appropriate, encourage them to keep going, encourage them to share more of their story. And hopefully at the start of the night, you've already opened up the night with tea, coffee, refreshments, and you've eased into perhaps another room where you can change the tempo and open in prayer as the group leader. And I generally encourage people to open also with one thing you're thankful for, one thing you'd like prayer for. And it's a very short, sharp thing. You go around the room, but what it does is it gives people the opportunity to share, and it gives others in the group the opportunity to listen and learn about what others in the group are going through and how they might be able to support them. Well, I trust that you have gained from looking at this study. We're taking it pretty slow through Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21, and I trust that your group is able to take these truths from God's word and apply it and live it out. I'm Andrew Corbett. We'll be back with our next study, study number 10.